5-year daily study through the whole Word of God. Check for times on this station or look for Through the Bible in your favorite podcast store, and always at ttb.org.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Knowing the Word is a radio teaching ministry of Cornerstone Church, PCA, in Palm Beach Gardens. We exist to bring the gospel of Christ to the community around us. Join us Sunday morning at 8 a.m.
Turn his ear to me. Hello, good afternoon, and we welcome you to The Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean. This is a one-hour program produced right here in the WCNO studios, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. The church address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Our church phone number is 772-220-0602.
And we do welcome you today, and I believe we have the Grajans joining us right now at this time. Joe, are you with us?
We are. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Alexa, that sounds like you're there as well. How are you all with all of the babies and grown-ups?
We're good. We're doing really good.
Very good. Great to have you with us. Open up our time today with what the Lord's put in your heart and with prayer.
Okay. Honey, you want to share a little bit?
Well, as we know, it's Memorial Weekend. My husband went to law school a few years back here now, probably 4 years, I guess. Maybe five years ago. Anyways, whatever. We were in anticipating going. I was nervous because I had heard that when men or whatever went to law school, they were to really absent from the home, and I was really nervous with the idea of that, because at the time I had three children, and I was just nervous about doing it by myself, and I never wanted to marry somebody that left for work. I just wanted to be able to, you know, do life with someone. And then very quickly, we were in law school in Virginia, Virginia Beach, which is right next to Norfolk, which is one of the biggest naval bases in the U.S., and I quickly met a lot of women whose spouses were in the military. I remember one family in particular, her husband would be gone for 6 months, home for two, and then gone for another 6 months, and I met her through homeschooling. And I quickly realized how selfish and how much of a baby I was being, because I realized how many men and women sacrifice their family members for the sake of our nation, and how wonderfully thankful I am for that. And so today, I think in remembering those who have passed away, it's really important to remember the families that are still here, the children and the mothers and the wives that hold up the fort while the men go away. And sometimes even the women go away. And so it's a big thing. It's a big sacrifice, a sacrifice that the entire family makes on behalf of our freedoms that we're so thankful for. And that just really rose up in my heart today. It's just, if you're out there and you've served in the military, it's not a light thing, and we do not take it for granted, the freedoms that you fought for. We're very thankful. And for those moms and wives that are out there and families and children that have sacrificed as well through the sharing of their loved ones, you have done an amazing service for our nation, and I'm very thankful. So here's Jeff.
Praise God. Very true. There's a Memorial Day tribute. There's a Memorial Day tribute video that Hillsdale College puts on. And if you type that in, Memorial Day tribute, it is about a 3.5-minute video that talks about the service members and what they've gone through and what they've donated to, what they've given for the cause of our country. And today, what God's put in our heart is hope. Soldiers go to war in the hope that they'll come home, but in the hope that they're fighting for the right cause, they're fighting for freedom. Mm-hmm. And we put our hope in the salvation of God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we know that we have such a great hope in that resurrection of Christ. We base our lives on it. And so today, as we celebrate the cause of freedom, we celebrate what God's done in this nation and our military members and their families. We also want to reflect that with the backdrop that our ultimate hope is the resurrection that we have in Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, that which you've given for us. We thank you for your great plan of salvation. We thank you for this marvelous country. We ask your peace, as your word says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We do so, and we also pray for the peace of America ultimately the world when Jesus sets up his kingdom. And so, Father, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. We ask you to give Pastor the words to say and give us all ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit of God is saying to us, we thank you for this day in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Amen. Our blessings go out to you, Joe, and Alexa, and to all of your family. We thank God for you, for your ministry, for your service, and for the great witness of your life. Thanks so much for joining us. And we are going to come back to you, Rachel, for just a moment. We want to talk about what's going on with ladies, and we're hopeful to get the church opened back up very shortly. So
yes,
maybe you can give a bit of a report on that. Let me get your mic on there. You are on.
Okay. Yes, we certainly are, and we certainly have missed fellowshipping with everyone. We are lifting up prayer requests. We are praying with the ladies on Tuesdays. We meet at 6 o'clock, and we have continued to meet, and we also are meeting on our Wednesday evening Bible studies, and we're coming together praying, hearing and sharing from the Word, and lifting up the needs. So if you have a prayer request, please just let us know. You can let us know that by going online and sending your prayer requests to us, and we would appreciate you doing that so very much.
And I have spoke with our contact with the Flagler Center.
Yes.
And wanted to just make mention of that we expect to hear an update on Tuesday this week. And as soon as we hear what date we're able to get back into the facilities, we will certainly be letting you know. I believe we plan to make a lot of phone calls.
Yes.
Is that right, Rachel?
Yes.
A lot of phone calls. And in addition to that, we will also be sending out a letter to all of our families that's on the mailing list. And we will endeavor to keep you all abreast of the date of reopening. Wouldn't it be great if we could be in our facilities there at the Flagler Center again next week? That would be great if that could happen. It is possible, but we do not have a clear go-ahead yet. We're waiting on a report that's going to come in on Tuesday. So if for some reason you are looking for an update, we may not have your phone number, you may have been listening, you may be interested in joining us for services, then once again, honey, give that phone number, because
okay,
people will be able to go online. They'll
yes,
be able to see where Flagler Center is, what time our services are. But if you want to get additional information, as we have had some people calling, and so you can call the church phone number, and we'll be happy to assist you. One more time with that number.
Yes, the number is 772-220-0602.
All right, and we now have, I believe, Ruddy on the phone. Ruddy, are you with us?
Yes, I'm with you, Pastor.
Okay, and Ruddy and Jasmine, we're looking for a big update. You're not in your new house yet, right?
Not as yet.
But coming. Soon come.
It's coming soon. Coming soon.
Soon come. Okay. Well, we love you all. We're keeping you lifted up in prayer. And I know that we're trying to assist with whatever housewarming things that you may need as you all are preparing to move into your home. I know there's some furniture needed and some other things. And so if you all can kind of get us a okay, list together, then we'll let our people know. And if you're part of our family or you're listening today and you have a house full of furniture and you have you'd like to bless Ruddy and Jasmine, a family in our congregation, part of our ministry team, then you can call the church office with that as well. Mm-hmm. We're looking to make sure they have everything they need when they move
yes,
in, because they're a huge blessing to us, and we want to be a blessing to you all as well, Ruddy. All right, you always lead us in our giving time, so go ahead and share with us.
Good morning, Pastor and Sister Rachel, and to members of the studio team this morning. And to the church on air, we worship this morning.
Amen.
With the hope that someday soon we will meet Jesus in the air. I just want to refer this morning to Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2, which says, When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. We take comfort this morning in the fact that the God that we serve is the omnipresent God. He assure us and continue to assure us that His abiding presence will always be with us. In this particular time that we are going through, a time in which individual members are confined, they are isolated, they are restricted, they are shut in and unable to have the fellowship and the communion that we would normally have as a family of believers. This morning, you might just feel alone. I'm here this morning to remind you that the God we serve is the God who will never leave you. He will never forsake you.
Amen.
And He said to the children of Israel then, which is now being made applicable to us as a church, His presence is with us. He Amen. Will never leave us. And it doesn't matter what you're going through. Someone might be going through the waters of their life. You might be going through the fire. You might be in the middle of some, you know, midnight crisis. You might be facing your Goliath. I'm here this morning to remind you that the God of the Bible is with you, and you are not alone.
Amen.
So as we prepare to give this morning, here's a God who offers His presence to us. His divine presence is being offered to each and every one this morning. And so as God's people, we are about to give our gift unto the Lord. And so let us just look to Him in prayer, knowing that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we recognize this morning that You are the initiator of giving. You are the first who give. And Lord, You gave us life. You gave us a creation. Lord God, most of all, You gave us Your Son, Jesus Christ. And so this morning, we come at a point where we're about to give back to You. And so, Lord, we are giving, rejoicing in the fact, Lord God, that You are our God who continue to give unto us.
Amen.
And Lord, throughout the past week, You would have blessed us in so many ways. We would be unable, Lord, to identify the various ways in which You have blessed us. And so this morning, out of a heart of appreciation and gratitude to You, we express as part of our worship our tithe and offering in giving unto You this morning. So, Lord, we ask that You will receive that which we will be giving unto You this morning. And as we give, Lord God, that, Father, our giving will be, O God, used to Your glory, and that You will be pleased with that which we shall give unto You. We commit every giver, every worshiper listening this morning and here into Your care, Lord God, in no other name but the name of our Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ, who promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Ruddy. Give our love to your family. And I trust you all are well. And we thank God for you and your partnership and ministry among us. Rachel, maybe you can mention about the midweek service and just give a little information about that. And also, once again, give the information on how someone can give if they want to give.
Okay.
And I believe we're going to have Bob Warner with us maybe in just a few moments. And
all right.
He'll join us just before the message.
Okay. All right. Very well. If you would like to give, when you go to the website, www.abundantlifestuart.com, that's www.abundantlifestuart.com, you can give right down below. There's a little donate button under the video, and it will take you to a secure PayPal giving website. And that is how you can give, or you can mail in your offerings to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. So those are several ways that you can do that.
Okay.
And we thank those who have been giving and bringing them by the station and also mailing them in, and we really, truly appreciate that so much. And Wednesday nights, if you're interested in attending, you can call the church phone, 772-220-0602, and we can plug you right into the information and our location and where we will be.
All right. And once again, if we are able, if we're able to be back at the Flagler Center, which is in downtown Stuart, Florida, if we are able to be back there this coming Sunday, we will let you know.
Yes.
We do not have approval yet, but we are anticipating a response very soon that will come to us through the city. And as soon as we get that information, we will let you know. And in the case, if next Sunday, if God gives us favor in such a way to where we're able to get back together by this coming Sunday, then we will be streaming next Sunday.
Yes.
And we'll be streaming from the Flagler Center instead of from WCNO Radio.
Correct.
The part that we don't know is whether or not we will have one more broadcast or something here on the air. But in any case, we will keep you posted. We will be giving announcements, and we'll have promotional spots here on WCNO to let you know exactly what has taken place with Abundant Life Ministries as far as our services. Now, it's good to have Bob Warner with us. Bob, I know you are a veteran. You served our country, and we thank God for that and for all of our veterans today. And I wanted you to specifically just share with us for a few moments and maybe pray over our families that are impacted by their service and participation in the military in some way.
Good afternoon on this memorable Memorial Day of 2020. So much is going on. I was out this morning to go on over to McDonald's, get a cup of coffee, and saw a veteran Marine from the late 60s and 70s. To me, it sounded like he had served almost 10 years, and it was great to see him. And the reason I'm so grateful for all our veterans is I was reminded by what the president had said the other day, that we have the right to assemble, our constitutional Amen. Right to assemble in churches. And Brian Mast, our representative from this area, he had mentioned yesterday on Fox in an op-ed, it said that so many veterans, and he being one, served abroad. They left their friends and their family. They went abroad. And while they were living out of like tractor trailer type structures in the jungles, in the forest, they couldn't help but think every day what it would be like if they could come back home to the freedom that we have here. So we're just so Amen. Grateful when you think of it from their perspective, going out and serving. There are men and women abroad even now in secret service, in some of them in threatening situations. They're remembering the freedom they had. They have family members at home. Their families that are home watching kids and households and parents and children and grandchildren, all are involved in making sure that they continually stay in touch with their service members. So we do lift up all our service members. You know, the Word of God said in John 15, said in the 15th verse of chapter 15 there, that God doesn't call us servants, because servants don't know what their Lord's doing, but he calls us friends. And it says in the 13th verse, a greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. So I just want to pray for all of Thank those you. That are out there that have served, that are listening to this broadcast. If their family members are listening and they can get a word out to them today, don't neglect the possibility of making contact with a service member that you've known that you could reach today and tell them how much you're Amen. Grateful for the freedom that they preserved and helped through the guarantees of our Constitution to uphold. And many may not have known that when they went abroad to serve, but I'm praying that many did hear from the Word of God and did understand what the price of freedom was. And so we thank you, Lord, for giving your life as well for every one of us and calling us friends. You call us friends. And we're just so grateful for this time. Very memorable time that we have right now. We don't want it to be forgotten. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding us always about the friendship we have with Christ and what it means to be protected by our fellow citizens. God bless them all. Amen.
Amen. And Bob, perhaps you could give us an update on what's taking place with our men. I know that we're continuing to get together.
You bet. Met together yesterday morning, and had a great representative turnout of guys.
We did.
We we're moving along together in our friendship and communication. We shared the word. We're sharing out of Timothy. And thank you, Pastor, for bringing those scriptures to our remembrance yesterday morning. And what a great opportunity to have a little breakfast, have some communion with each other, per se, and talk about other things in our lives and lift each other's prayers up, the needs that we have to lift them up. And prayer is the tools that the Lord has given us to lift up our brothers. And again, on Monday nights, we meet together for prayer, see such miracles take place, intervention by the Lord, jobs are found. Maybe God has a better job for an individual. Maybe they need guidance. Miracles, answers to prayer, healings, prosperity, victory over situations, families restored, marriages restored.
Amen.
There's so much. I could go on and on and on. But those are the freedoms that we have. We thank you, Lord, for giving us that freedom.
Amen.
In Jesus' name only and in his name only. Amen.
Amen. Well, Bob and Esther, we love you all. God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your day today. And thanks for calling in and connecting in with us here today.
You got it. I want to hear what the Lord has in store for us. So we're looking forward to this message today, Pastor. God
Amen.
Bless you,
Thank
Rachel.
You. Thank
and
you.
And the staff there. And all the sound people and techs. We just speak a blessing over them as well. Thank you, guys.
God bless. Thanks, Bob. And we are going to be having more updates in the very near future in reference to development of our new church property. This is exciting, honey. It's very exciting to realize after all these years, we purchased this property in 2001. And I believe some may have lost a little heart in the process. It's
yes.
taken us a while to get to where we are. But we have permits in hand, and we're in the process right now of the last details of getting the shop drawings together for all the drainage that's going to be on the site. And, you know, when you're in a parking lot and you see all of these concrete drain structures that the water runs off into, those are all custom made, of course, to a project. And ours, the drawings are in the process of being completed and approved. And once those are approved, production's going to start immediately on those. And our lift station for water, for the sewage, fire hydrants, all of that is in the works. Mm-hmm. And so it's very exciting in just a few days when you drive by the corner of Willoughby and Salerno Road. This is the northwest corner. This is going to be our future worship center and worship facility, our new campus. And when people ask me, well, where is your church? I have to kind of say we're a bit of a homeless church right now. We rent facilities
yes.
downtown at the Flagler Center, and we thank God for those facilities. They're beautiful.
Yes, they are.
It's a beautiful location. We're just down close to Mulligan's,
mm-hmm.
and the facilities work great. We have tremendous teachers that teach our children, and we have a great great worship team, great ushers. We have a great great time of fellowship, and we are so looking forward. My wife and I are so looking forward to being reunited with you, our family. And, of course, I know there's going to be some guidelines and such forth, but we have enough space that we can safely, I'm confident, bring the body of Christ together there at that facility. So we will let you know just as soon as we know that we're able to get back into our facilities there. At this time, I'd like you to just join me as we look into the Word of God. And I want to join in with Bob and Joe, who also made an emphasis on this Memorial Day weekend. And we thank God for all of our families that have just dedicated portions of their life as well as their very lives so that we might have the freedom to worship as we have it today. And I just have to say this. I was so thrilled to see our president putting the emphasis on churches having the right to worship and wanting to see the churches open back up, yes, and urging the governors across the United States to no longer stand in the way of churches getting back into their facilities and restoring worship. And he said something, and honey, I don't know if you heard him say this, but he said, we need more prayer in America.
Yes.
And I thought that is absolutely is the case.
More prayer, not less.
More prayer, not less. All right. So now Josh is with us, and I believe, because I can see my wife, I believe that you are able to see Rachel today. Is that the case? Did that happen? So she has been alive with me this morning a little bit, so there she's been. Okay, very good. Honey, it's great to have you back from your surgeries and on the mend, and every day I can see that you're doing much better. Thanks for your prayers, incidentally, for those of you who have been praying with us. Now, as you know, Pentecost Sunday is coming up on the 31st, and last Sunday we began a series looking at Pentecost, and today I want to continue that series. I want to pick up with a topic that is Pentecost now, the possibility. Now I know Pentecost Sunday took place about 2,000 years ago, but the question is Pentecost now a possibility in your life, in my life, as believers? And if so, what exactly does Pentecost look like? Why was there a Pentecost? What took place on that day? Why did Jesus say to the disciples, I want you to go back to Jerusalem. I want you to tarry there until you have received the promise. And of course, this promise comes from the Father. And this is the gift that Christ promised to the church. If you recall when John, we call him John the Baptist because he baptized many people, but when he was baptizing, if you recall what he said when he saw Jesus, he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And the disciples of John would say to him, John, do you realize that more and more of those who have been coming and listening, being baptized, been following you and your teachings, do you realize more and more are beginning to follow Jesus? And of course, John would say, this is the way it must be. I must decrease and he must increase. And he spoke about the baptism in water, which was a baptism that tied in with regeneration. He spoke of that baptism, that what he was doing was a baptism unto repentance. It was a baptism by which one would publicly declare and publicly participate as a believer and demonstrate before the watching world that Jesus Christ was Lord in their life. That is what it means to us today. And of course, it is a tremendous part of our journey as a newborn Christian. We're instructed to do so. However, John said that Jesus would baptize with a different baptism, that his baptism was not simply going to be like the baptism that John had, a baptism of repentance, but that his baptism would be with fire, that it would be a cleansing, purifying, transforming baptism of fire. And we know on the day of Pentecost, as the Holy Spirit descended, now we know that the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus as a dove, as he was baptized there in the Jordan. However, to the believers, as they are in that upper room, the Holy Spirit descended upon them, and the scriptures tell us that there was this mighty wind that blew. There were tongues, as it were, of fire that came upon those who were in the room, and we know that their speech was transformed on that day, at that time as well, because it tells us that they spoke in tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance, and those who heard were able to hear in their native tongue, their native language, rather than just in the language of the speaker. A miracle took place that day. Those who spoke with a new tongue that was inspired and moved by the Holy Spirit, and those who heard also heard by the power of the Holy Spirit in a wonderful way. So Pentecost now, is it possible? I believe we are going to see in the scripture that it's not only possible, but it is the gift that God the Father has for every believer. Pentecost now, it's not only a possibility, we're going to see that it is the will of God. Last Sunday morning or afternoon, I was speaking of the fact that in my own personal life, I had a holy desire to be holy. I believe that is to be the norm in the individual's life who has surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. When you talk with someone who says they're a Christian, but there is absolutely no evidence in their life that they have been born into the family of God, there are not any changes, there is not any difference in their appetite for the things of God. We've talked about this some, that if you're truly born again, there's going to be an appetite for the things of God. The Word talks about all things changing and becoming new, that being born again is a brand new relationship. You're brought into the family of God. You're going to desire the Word of God. You're going to desire fellowship with other believers. You're going to desire to be a worshiper. You're going to desire to follow Christ and to honor Him as Lord of your life. And part of that entire work of God is to give us this desire, this hunger, I believe, to be holy. I shared last week some of the struggles in my life, how I'd busied myself with works, thinking maybe that would help, but there always seemed to be areas that were areas that I was burdened with and displeased and felt as though God was displeased, seemed to be just constantly failing in something and really good at failing, incidentally. A man some years ago came into my office at the church, and he said, "Jonathan, could you share with me what is the secret of God's favor on your life?" And I didn't have a lot of time to think about it. He's standing there. He's asking me that question. And he went on to elaborate a little bit. He said, I know it's not because you're so smart, because I don't see you as that smart. And he gave me a few other flattering comments at that time. But then he said, "But I am confident that God's favor's on your life." And the first thing that came to my mind was what I shared, and I still stand by it, that though in my life I have been very good at failing, I have learned that a quick return to the Father and honesty and transparency is absolutely the way to live in God's favor. Now, we're going to be talking about the Spirit-filled life and what it means a little more in the days to come. And so let's just move on a little beyond this. So as I was desiring to somehow see a change in my life, I busied myself in all kinds of good works. Not a thing wrong with good works. If you're truly saved, your salvation's going to work. But that is not salvation, nor is it the Spirit-filled life in and of itself. I also dedicated myself to educational development, desiring to learn, desiring to understand, and became a student, pursuing, reading, studying those who had spent their life desiring to live a holy life. I also talked about the frustrations in my life and just kind of dropping the standard and saying maybe the only way to actually live at peace in my own life and with God and to live what I would consider to be a holy life, maybe I need to just lower the standard and say the way to do that is just not to expect so much. And that certainly was not the answer either. And one thing I failed to mention last week, but I want to throw it out today, I pursued discipline in my life. And discipline can be a wonderful thing, but someone can be very disciplined and still not be righteous or godly or holy. And, you know, discipline in prayer, discipline in the garden. If you remember the disciples had a difficult time staying awake. In fact, they dozed off while Jesus is praying, and Jesus asked them to watch and pray that they enter not into temptation, but they dozed off. And so the discipline, having a discipline to do all of these things, the Pharisees had disciplines. They counted out the seeds. They did all of these various rigorous attempts to fulfill the law. And yet, all of the discipline, if you could have all of the discipline you desire, that in and of itself, none of these things in and of themselves can make us holy. It really must totally be a work of God that's done in our life. And so the question, is it possible to have Pentecost now? To have a life that is filled with the presence of God? Is it possible to have a tongue that is changed? To have a mind that is set on God? Is it possible to have a life and a lifestyle that is transformed by the power of God? God working in you, God living in you, you living in God. Is this possible? And so I know throughout history many have asked this question, and I am happy to tell you that the Word of God gives us some answers. I want to start with, first of all, some admonitions that we're going to see. And the first one is to be holy. To be holy. In Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 and 2, we find these words recorded. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly of Israel. Say to them, be holy, because I, the Lord, your God, am holy." You say, well, that's in Leviticus. That's still under the law. That is in the, some might say, the Old Testament. I like to say it's in the First Covenant. And yes, it is. It is. But you may ask the question, is there any admonition in the New Testament to be holy? Well, we're moving in that direction. Let me share another passage that is from the book of Leviticus as well, but this is in chapter 20. We started in 19, now we're in chapter 20, we're looking at verse 22. "Keep all my decrees and laws and follow them, so that the land where I'm bringing you to live may not vomit you out. You must not live according to the customs of the nations I'm going to drive out before you. Because they did all these things, I abhorred them." Now listen to verse 26. "You are to be holy to me, because I, the Lord, am holy." Did you hear that? God is saying, you are to be holy to me, because I, the Lord, am holy, and I set you apart. That's really what being holy means. It means to be set apart from Satan, from death, from hell, from destruction, and set apart unto God, unto life, and unto righteousness. And of course, that is eternal life with the Lord. "You are to be holy to me, because I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations to be my own." In Christ, as born-again believers today, are we not chosen? Are we not called? Are we not also to be in Christ? Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and following. "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance." Perhaps you remember those days in ignorance. I call them BC days, before Christ. "The evil desires that you had at that time. But just as he who called you," this is verse 15, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, "but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do." Now that's where we really need to take note of what the Scriptures is saying to us this morning. The admonition of God is that just as in the first covenant, now God is speaking to us, but now we're in a different place. We now can have the born-again experience with Jesus Christ, and we can have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. And this is the will of God, that we're holy just as God is holy. This is just amazing. It's overwhelming. Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. In other words, remember that this world is not your home. We used to sing that song. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And this is exactly what the Scripture says, that we are to remember that we are foreigners here with reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. So again, the admonition, here we are in the New Testament, in 1 Peter, just as we see it in Leviticus, is that we are to be set apart, but now through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, because we have been purchased with a price. And as God is holy, we are to be holy. And this is, be holy. Now let's move to the next admonition. Be perfect. Now you're going to laugh about that and say, that's impossible. How in the world can anybody be holy, and how in the world can anybody be perfect? Well, it certainly is not going to be possible in our natural flesh and in all of our good works to accomplish these things that God desires to accomplish in our life. Let me take you right to Matthew 5, verses 43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not the pagans do that? And then verse 48, here it is. Be perfect, therefore. Wow, that's a big admonition. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. What in the world is God talking about when these kind of instructions are given to us in the church? I'm familiar with the point that I've heard many in church say, well, really, we're forever destined to sin in word, thought, and deed every day, and make such a focus of it that to some, they actually make that their lifestyle. This does not sound like what the Word of God is instructing us to have as our vision and our goal and our lifestyle. No, be holy as God is holy. Be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. The admonition is to not respond to our enemies as unbelievers do, but we're to pray for them, and to not be living as the unrighteous live, greeting each other, having relationships on that kind of a level. No, because Christ is in us, and God desires to fill us with his Holy Spirit, which is Pentecostal power. God desires for his church to be a set apart, transformed, empowered people. Very different from what religion can do. This is the journey that God brings us on, wherein we become his righteousness. But not only are we admonished to be holy, to be perfect, let me throw another word at you. Be sanctified. Be sanctified. Well, that's a word that I heard a lot about growing up in the Methodist Church, the Wesleyan Holiness churches. Focus on sanctification. Spoke about a second definite work of grace in our life wherein one could be entirely sanctified. Now, the process of sanctification, the Wesleyan Holiness, along with the Wesleys, desired and believed that it was possible after you're born again to have this experience, this encounter, this life-changing encounter with God, wherein you become entirely set apart unto God, sanctified by a work that God does in your life. And some believe that it not only is a second definite work, but it takes place at a specific time and then it continues. We would call that progressive, that the sanctifying work of God that begins in our life at that time wherein one is sanctified or set apart unto God continues as they journey through the remainder of their days. Now, when we look at Pentecost, we see a definitive time in the disciples' lives where things changed, where their lives are set apart unto God without question in a tremendous, greater, significant manner. And we see a tremendous change not only in their words, but also in their lifestyle. And Pentecost now, God's Holy Spirit baptizing his people, indwelling his church, is the means by which Acts 1:8 can be fulfilled. Acts 1:8, you check it out in the Word of God, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Now, the whole idea of a witness is someone who has experienced firsthand and can share with someone else what has taken place. And so when we look at Acts 1:8, this is what the work of the Holy Spirit, the baptism, Pentecost, is to do in the life of the believer. We are to experience God in such a way that we can witness for God and witness of God's power and witness of the faithfulness of God's word that takes place through the believer's life. This is a spirit-energized, a spirit-filled, a spirit-baptized, a spirit-transformed way of living. And so we have be holy, be perfect, be sanctified. 1 Thessalonians 4:1-8. As for the other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. That really is the point. How do we please God? As in fact you are living. Well, the believers there were living that way. He just commends them. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. Continue, he is saying, to grow in your pleasing lifestyle and relationship that you have with God. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. Here it is. Be sanctified. Be holy. Be perfect. And be sanctified. Be set apart. And then gives a list of exactly what being set apart unto God looked like and becomes very specific. And the author here, the Holy Spirit, is giving us in 1 Thessalonians 4, when we get to verse 3, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid, first thing, sexual immorality. Well, what do you think about that? Well, it doesn't really matter what you think about that. What matters is God says that he wants us to be set apart and to live a life of morality. Sexual immorality is not to be a part of the church, of the believer. This is not to be a part of our lifestyle. Now, I know many churches may not address this, and some today may say, well, you know, I'm not going to talk about LGBT. I'm not going to talk about homosexuality. I'm not going to talk about adultery. I'm not going to talk about affairs. I'm not going to talk about premarital sex. Well, the Word of God addresses it and says that it is the will of God for us to be sanctified, set apart from the world. And this is in the Word of God, that you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Let me tell you, God is the one that can bring discipline and control to our bodies so that we have a holy and honorable life in this house that we live in. Verse 5, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that is this, and that in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. Very specific. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. And listen to verse 7. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. Well, we're to be sanctified, set apart unto God. God desires for us to live a holy life, a moral life, a clean life, a pure life, a set-apart life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? You may say, wait a minute, Pastor, what are you talking about? Because all of us, you know, no one is going to be able to please God. Well, that's contrary to the Word of God. The Word of God says, be holy, to be perfect, to be sanctified. Now, you cannot do this on your own, but the power that God desires to release in your life as a believer and a Christ follower is the power, the same power that brought Jesus up out of the grave, I might say, is the power that God gives us to separate us from the power of sin and destruction. Listen to what it says in this passage. This is 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that, listen to verse 11, and that is what some of you were. Now he's making a clear delineation. He's saying this at one time may have been a part of your life. Maybe one of these sins, maybe many of these sins, maybe all of these sins were a part of your life. But he is saying that this is what some of you were. This is not to be the condition of the church today. The church is to be set apart unto righteousness, apart from sin, apart from destruction, apart from Satan, and set apart unto God. It says, but that's what some of you were. But listen to this. But you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Now, we just have a few moments left. And I know that we actually started the program today about 5 minutes late, so we're going to go ahead and utilize the remainder of that time. But I want to just close by sharing this. My wife and I had not been married a long time, just maybe a few months. When I was talking with her brother, David, about this desire in my heart to be holy, to live a life that is set apart unto God, sanctified, and to understand what the Word of God is saying when it tells us to live perfectly before God, to not be under the dominion, the control of sin any longer in our life. And David sent to me a magazine. It was entitled Charisma. Some of you have read that magazine. In those days, the Charisma magazine had many articles that were written by a pastor from the Melbourne area, and his name was Jamie Buckingham.